When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/audioboom.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome in. Game Time Decisions is live on SportsGrid. I'm Kevin Walsh with you, and we have it all at our disposal. The Sports Equinox is here. It's a Monday night. You know that means we have Monday Night Football. We also, of course, have the NBA, the NHL. It is that time of year. And we have Game 3 of the World Series between the New York Yankees and the Los Angeles Dodgers. And the Yankees are staring down the barrel of a must-win. They are favored in the baseball game, though, as they go up against this Dodgers team in their own building. It's incredible to watch this series play out. Game number one. The Yanks seemingly had it in the bag twice. Freddie Freeman with a grand slam had different ideas, and they lose 6-3. Game number two was all Dodgers. Yamamoto was excellent. Yanks made a late rally. Jose Trevino tried to have a Freddie Freeman moment. Instead, a not-so-dangerous pop fly put the Dodgers up to nothing. This has been a very competitive World Series to start, yet it's a lot of doom and gloom around the New York Yankees. Again, favored in this game, total 8.5 tonight. What's interesting, though, is how much we've seen the movement in the World Series outright market. Minus 480 for the LA Dodgers to be the champions. Plus 360 is the Yankees' number. Heading into tonight's game, it looks like a good spot for lefties with a pair of righties going for each of these teams, especially with the struggles we've seen from Walker Buehler. I am fascinated, though, and admittedly as a Yankee fan, wildly frustrated with Aaron Judge. The frustrations are obvious. I mean, he has been actively bad, which is not something you can really have when, during the regular season, he was the best player in baseball. Yes, even better than Shohei Ohtani. Ohtani, by the way, injured at the end of game number two. Dave Roberts says, no worries whatsoever. He'll be good to go tonight. But for Aaron Judge, I still continually watch these struggles and think to myself, this just can't continue to happen. It's hard to imagine. Again, think about it in any other sport. What if during the NHL playoffs, Connor McDavid was held pointless for series after series? It wouldn't make sense. If all of a sudden in the NBA, Luka Doncic was incapable of getting to 20 points or even 15. If in the NFL, you're looking at Pat Mahomes in the playoffs and he just stops completing passes. That's what's going on with Aaron Judge. He has a few home runs. He is striking out in every at-bat. Judge is all of a sudden the epitome of what everybody hates about modern baseball. Strikeout or home run. And there's a lot more strikeouts than home runs. But the crazy thing is Aaron Judge spent this entire regular season not only hitting for power. Aaron Judge had a top three batting average in baseball. Again, he was the best player in baseball almost all season long. He had a slow start. Then just went on fire. the entire time. So the Yankees are sat here down 2-0. But it's not like the Yankees are like, we're keep giving them our best punch and we can't get out of our chairs. No, the Yankees show up to every single game. They know Soto will make a moment. They know Stanton will make a moment. One or two guys will get a hit here and there. But their most important player, Big 99, cannot step up. So you want a crazy idea that I'm considering? Aaron Judge World Series MVP. I mean, if it's going to happen, doesn't he have to be a part of it? Are the Yankees actually going to be able to cross the finish line with him batting a .145? Again, it's hard to imagine. We'll talk more World Series, but I don't want to not hit Monday Night Football because despite the fact that the World Series is on and this Monday Nighter looks trash, most of you will be watching Monday Night Football. That's just, and that means most of you will be betting Monday Night Football, a 6-point line here in favor of the Steelers going up against the New York Giants, total 36.5. Let's start just quickly with the side. The Steelers now, for the second straight week, host the New York, a New York team. Last week, though, they were catching 2.5 in their own building from the Jets, and they ended up rolling that team. A 15-6 deficit turned into a 37-15 victory. But a lot of that is clear as day now that the Jets are terrible. They find ways to lose. They create ways to lose. The incredible thing, though, is with the Jets, at times you try and salvage it. Like, if they made a field goal, they would have won. They would have beaten New England Patriots, who are a bottom five team in football. Again, the evidence is mounting that the Jets appear to be a bottom five team in football. I bring that up to suggest, are we sure this line should have moved so much week over week now that the Giants are coming in, who are being priced like they are many, many, many tiers apart from the New York Jets, when the evidence is perhaps telling us the Giants are better than the New York Jets. They are just as good, and that's what we've seen. I entered this year saying I'm not going to bet on Daniel Jones. I can't do it. I did it throughout last year. There were spots where the Giants jumped off the page. And I just kept getting my head beat in. And eventually, I know he was lost to injury, and the season then kind of started to take a different form with DeVito and things of that nature. But I knew that there would be many times this year where the Giants would look tempting. It started in week number one against the Vikings. Now, the Vikings have proven to be much better than that opening line from the week one matchup. But, man, the Giants at home, a dog to Darnold, this should be. And I didn't touch it. And I was glad I didn't. Yes, they've covered a few numbers. Their win at Seattle was awesome. They beat the Cleveland Browns. But tonight is the closest I've gotten to putting money on Daniel Jones and the New York Giants. But not just catching six. No props stand out to me more than the Giants quarterback in Daniel Jones. 188.5 is his passing prop. Let's just talk through this. The Pittsburgh Steelers, we know, have a ferocious defense. But sometimes defenses capitalize more on playmaking. Or they'll force an opponent to have to throw a little bit more because they're behind the eight ball. They can't get the rush attack going. Seven different quarterbacks have gone up against the Steelers this season. Seven different teams. There was an under in week number one for Kirk Cousins. Great job. Justin Herbert went under, but he was also lost to an in-game injury. Similar story with the Colts when it was a Richardson plus Flacco performance, but combined they went through this number. There are four other quarterback performances this season that have gone up against the Pittsburgh Steelers, and those four quarterbacks have thrown on average for 275 yards per game. And it's not that Pittsburgh's been going up against some wild, monstrous, murderer's row of QBs in that stretch. The aforementioned Aaron Rodgers. Yes, Dak Prescott threw for a billion on him, but we saw Dak on Sunday night against San Francisco. He's been getting beaten up this season. Bo Nix had a great game against this Steelers defense. He threw for a lot of yards. I think Daniel Jones can throw for yards. So who capitalizes? That's the other item of this that we have to figure out. The running back room tonight will be fascinating because we could have two lead backs in Devin Singletary and Najee Harris who have guys chomping at their heels. Najee looks to be secure, but Jalen Warren was used quite a bit last week. If anything, that's just Warren showing he will be their pass-catching back. Is Devin Singletary's job safe Or will the rookie running back and Tyrone Tracy Jr. cement himself as their RB1 on the road in Pittsburgh? We'll continue to break it down with you here on a Sports Equinox Monday NBA.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/audioboom.
Shall we get to it all with you after this quick break?
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, we're back with you right here on Sports Grid, a little Sports Equinox night. Now, what we do have for you with every single game league going on, we have some Sports Equinox parlays. We will put those on the deck before we get out of here. Of course, tonight, game time decisions will run up until 7 o'clock Eastern. Your pregame show led by Casey Hudson will take over. Then myself, Donnie Wrightside, and Joe Lisi will carry you throughout the night with focusing on the Monday Nighter. But we will, of course, mix in Major League Baseball and really anything else. There are some big NBA games on the board. What I will say with the NBA slate, and listen, you know, I've recently been frustrated with NFL injuries. I know people have their frustrations with the NBA. Where I will meet some of the NBA complainers in the middle is if you want to know every bit of information around the injuries, you have to wait quite a while. Prime example, Franz Wagner is questionable throughout the day with an illness, is now going to play in tonight's basketball game against the Pacers. That was a number that had been dropping throughout the day under the idea he may not play. We saw Paolo Banchero's points, rebounds, and assists shoot up into the 40s under the idea that Franz would not play. Those numbers have fallen now that he's going to be in for this game. We have back-to-backs on tonight's slate in a few spots, including the Milwaukee Bucks going up against the Boston Celtics, right? Well, Giannis was on the injury report. Giannis playing was always the expectation, right? But we had to wait to find out for sure. He's in. Okay, well, the 9.5 now in some spots, gone. Down to a flat 9. So you missed out on maybe the best of the number because you didn't want to hold a 9.5 in your pocket. Giannis ends up out. Well, now it's 14.5, and you don't even like the bet, right? So it's one of those spots where I understand you got to be patient within the NBA, but to me, I'd rather have to be patient than Sunday Night Football. Jordan Mason bets are lined up and loaded, and for the second time in 3 weeks, Jordan Mason is injured in-game. And all of a sudden, then your wagers are done when you're kind of watching the game play out and you think to yourself, hold on a minute, I had a good one loaded up here, right? Considering Isaac Guerrero on, you know, a shortened workload than what Jordan Mason was given, right? Or on a shortened workload than what Mason was kind of projected as the lead back, still finishes with 14 carries, 85 yards, and a score. And he could have scored another one, but he actually decided to lay down in that game. When we do get Joe Lisi, who's going to stop by here tonight, I want to ask him a little bit about Niners, Cowboys, and a few other spots that we saw yesterday really pop off on that NFL slate. But with tonight, what you have for the Pittsburgh Steelers is a pivotal, pivotal football game. Much has been made about Pittsburgh's remaining schedule. But that will feel a lot better if they enter that remaining schedule 6-2 out of a bye. Let's look at the Steelers and what sits on the other side of their Week 9 bye. A team who is now projected to make the playoffs quite comfortably, and a team who, by the way, is not going to be tossed aside in the North race with the Ravens losing as a touchdown favorite again out of the bye. Let's take a first four-game run at it. At Washington, home against Baltimore, at Cleveland, at Cincinnati. That's a lot. Hell, throw the other Cleveland game in there. You have four straight games against the North. We know those are always difficult. The Commanders now are continuously getting the job done. They win in incredible fashion against the Chicago Bears and sit 6-2. None of that looks easy, especially since Cleveland has a lot more life to them now that Jameis Winston is their quarterback. The final four games, at Philly, at Baltimore, home against Kansas City, home against Cincinnati. The Pittsburgh Steelers may be favored to win one of their remaining games after tonight's matchup. One. That's a lot of football that has to be played by a 6-2 team. Nine games remaining, eight of them as an underdog. But again, is there anywhere I'm undercutting them? Maybe week 18 with the Cincinnati matchup? I don't think so. So this is a spot to me where for the Pittsburgh Steelers, a win tonight, it's not just, ooh, man, now we can kind of have ourselves in a lot of races. This is one of those where you have to continue to provide yourself cushion to make sure that that minus 265 number to make the playoffs is going to end up cashing for anybody who has been attacking that wager. On the New York Giants side of it all, this is a lost season. There were some who wondered if that would be the case because we always get surprises. Their win total is 5.5. They are minus $1 billion, it looks like, to miss the playoffs. 18-1 to make. Much shorter odds to actually have the worst record in the league and pick first overall. Oh boy, the Carolina Panthers are going to make that hard for anybody else to actually get involved with. The question for me on the Giants, though, it's not really about winning tonight's game or even winning next week against Washington. It is how much longer Daniel Jones is going to be their quarterback. And was last week a warning sign on loading up Daniel Jones props? I'm going to be on Daniel Jones tonight. Talked about it in our open. I think we're getting some sweet value on a 188.5 number for a guy who I understand is coming off of a 99-yard performance, but had thrown for 200-plus in four straight weeks leading in to the letdown against Philadelphia. But maybe the biggest thing that happened in the game against Philadelphia was Daniel Jones being benched. Reporters cannot stop talking about the fact that Daniel Jones will all but guaranteed be off this team unless he suffers injury this year. And Daniel Jones isn't necessarily the model of health when it comes to the quarterback position. So tonight, could I have a Daniel Jones bet in that needs some fourth quarter work? And then all of a sudden I'm watching Drew Locke? That would be interesting. And it's something that maybe we have to think about heading into these Giants games. We're back with you after a quick break on Sports.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/audioboom.
Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, let's put a couple things on the board with you right here on Sports Grid. As it is Sports Equinox night, it puts someone like myself in a position to put some eyes on the NHL board. I will mention there are two games tonight that kind of just jump off, right? Winnipeg against Toronto, an 8-0 perfect team right now, and the Winnipeg Jets are home dogs to the Maple Leafs. That's just an obvious kind of jumps off the page type of thing there. And Toronto's also not playing well. They've lost 3 in a row, 4 out of their last 5 games so far. So it's just an interesting little thing to keep your eye on inside that game. I like under the 6, though. For me, I think the Toronto defense can kind of step up. Winnipeg's been winning with an offense that's probably not too sustainable. And then another thing that just jumps out is Colorado. They're going up against what is, you know, projected and will be a bad Blackhawks team. They're a -190 favorite. The Avs are 5-4, but for those who don't know, they've not been following. This team started 0-4 and have now won 5 games in a row. They had an overtime win against Anaheim, which was their first of the season, and it's kind of flipped this thing around where all of a sudden now we're seeing the Avs start to play at their level. Since I mentioned the under that I do have tonight in the matchup with Winnipeg and Toronto at 6, let's go through some Sports Equinox parlays. We had some of our crew put them in as well, since it's kind of a fun night. I know a lot of you are going to be betting on all these sports here. We figured we just put a lot on the pile for you. I mentioned, right, again, under in Toronto and Winnipeg at 6 goals. Give me Bam Adebayo over 16.5 points. Give me Tyrone Tracy over 44.5 rushing plus receiving. Then give me Gleyber Torres. Let's get it over the 1.5 hits, runs, RBI. I want to put the rest of the crew's numbers out there as well, just so, again, everybody can kind of have some fun here. We've got Yanks money line, we've got Grizzlies money line, the Steelers money line, and the Florida Panthers money line. So a little quadruple money line there from our guy AJ. Chris goes with a Najee Harris anytime touchdown, Juan Soto over the 1.5 hit run RBI. Alex Saar, again, the not resident Wizards fan, with a Saar prop on the Equinox parlay. And then Braden Point, anytime goal scorer, paying out at 12-1. And then Sam finishes it with an outrageous one. You had to see it coming here. We've got Soto did a home run. We've got Connor Bedard, anytime goal scorer. Love that. He's hot right now, the kid. George Pickens for 90-plus receiving yards. And then the Wizards, because, of course, over the 113.5 team total, that is the monster one tonight for anybody who is out there and involved with the Sports Equinox parlays. And, again, we got we got it covered here on Sports Grid. We had to get involved. I want to just quickly, on the NBA slate, there's a few things that I've circled up. But there is one little outlier anomaly, if you will, that I thought was worth mentioning. The Indiana Pacers, who, if you were with us a week ago or 6 days ago doing the NBA opening day show, I bet to win the Eastern Conference. And one of the reasons for that is being high on Tyrese Halliburton. Tyrese finally had his first 20-point game of the year. He made 4 threes. That does not salvage the fact that he scored 0 at the Garden against the Knicks. That is indefensible. It really is. It's the second time he scored 0 in the last 2 seasons. You cannot be a superstar and score 0 points. You just can't. Not when you're out there playing full minutes, which he essentially was. It really was terrible. But. Halliburton's scoring is not, to me, the most puzzling thing of his season. It is Halliburton's assists. Tyrese Halliburton in three games has 11 total assists so far this season. Tyrese Halliburton averaged 11 assists per game last year. He has 9.3 potential assists per game, which you see and you go, oh, so that's got to get corrected. Last year, he had 17.8. I don't know what's going on with the Indiana Pacers, and tonight they're in a tough spot against Orlando. I am really interested and invested to see if they could start to flip this thing around. As I told you, I kind of wait for the lineups. What I will make sure to do once everything is kind of put in for me, because we have the 1-7-10 game there with Franz playing, that's going to be a no-action game for me. I'll send out any NBA that we have for you around that 7:30 window. Trae Young, Michael Porter Jr. Are a few guys that I'm going to be lining up as well as the Milwaukee Bucks. We'll get into that all, but we bring our guy Joe Lisi into the fold with you on SportsGrid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Nice. All right, let's make it happen with you right here. Game Time Decisions, Kevin Walsh, Joe Lisi. Joe, excited to have you, man. Sports Equinox, you celebrate? Or?
Oh, nothing better than Sports Equinox. World Series, football, basketball, nothing better. Hockey.
For you tonight, I know our show will be focused on the NFL, but is that the game that's calling your attention the most? With so much going on?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Monday Night Football, Giants and Steelers. I'm locked in. Have a ton of props. I might jump into the baseball when we're on air.
Yeah.
It depends. I mean, down 2-0 right now. Yankees need a little mojo. Aaron Judge, gutless right now. You can make that assessment.
I'll tell you right now. You know. You did something last night that I need you to continue. I haven't told you about this yet either. The most gutless team of the week poll?
Yes.
Don't miss a week. That's all I ask.
Yes.
I voted. I loved it. Actually, let me pull that up, Joe. Because you know what? Here's the thing. You and I get rolling, and there's always like 6 or 7 topics I wish we had time to get to. I'm not missing out. All right? So where is this gutless poll? Found it. Okay. Lisi asks, at Go for the Two, which NFL team was more gutless in week 9? Overwhelming. 76%. The New York Jets. But a shout out to you, because I'm sure a lot of people who clicked on that poll bet the Jets. Not you. You bet the Patriots catching the 7 as the best bet on our show. You said they could win the game outright, and they did.
Yeah, unbelievable. We talked about, you know, the Jets being booked as the team that potentially won 4 straight heading into that game. They lost 4 straight. It was back-to-back road games. The rushing attack is still inconsistent. Offensive line issues. Now, granted, Aaron Rodgers moved the football, but you and I talked about it in the pregame. Since Robert Saleh is gone, that defense has regressed. They're not a top-notch unit anymore. Teams are moving the football. New England, Drake May, Jacoby Brissett. I mean, mediocre quarterback play, and they still found a way to put up 25 points on that defense. They are a complete train wreck, and it's not going to get better.
What I think, you know, I would usually ask this question, but I know it wouldn't apply to you. I would say 8 out of 10 New England bettors, if you say, hey, Drake May's going to get injured in game, do you still want your bet? Would be like, no. Again, I know for you, you'd like it even more. Yeah, I know that. But Joe, the fact that did happen,
right?
Because again, I think Drake May's looked good for New England. I think he's looked much better than Brissett. Jacoby Brissett, game-winning drives.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the thing with the Jets. This isn't just a Rodgers isn't playing well thing. It's a Rodgers story, because I don't think it's unfair to put everything at his feet. I think everything's his fault. I'm not even kidding. But all three phases of the game, I know everyone's talking about Zuerlein, this team is losing games in all three phases. It's incredible to watch.
Yeah, there's no continuity in the locker room. There is no continuity in the locker room. You could have made that argument. Fine, you want to fire Robert Saleh, but it's not Jeff Ulbrich that's running the team, Kev. It's not. It's Aaron Rodgers. He brought in Devontae Adams. It didn't work. He brought in Alan Lazard and all of the former teammates that he had in Green Bay to make him win. They didn't win. He brought in Nate Hackett, his guy, to call plays.
Yep.
I mean, it's an absolute mess right now. And the problem is you have young talent on that team, players like Sauce Gardner, players like Garrett Wilson that are top draft picks. Who are they turning to for advice? Who are they turning to look, hey, how do I get coached up? Is it Jeff Ulbrich or is it Aaron Rodgers? And who's pointing fingers right now? Aaron's pointing fingers at everybody but himself.
Yeah, I just think it's one of these situations where, you know, someone mentioned me like, hey, man, if Zuerlein made a couple kicks, okay, if you lose to New England Patriots, oh, if Zuerlein made a kick, you should be rolling that football
Correct.
Team. I don't want to hear about if Zuerlein makes a kick against the Denver Broncos in a game where the opponent throws for 60 passing yards. I don't. Now, the thing about, again, my new favorite thing, which is the gutless poll of the week.
Yes.
Comes out at 8:13. I wonder if the Dallas Cowboys make the poll. Comes out a little bit later. They get to save off.
Yes.
But, I mean, the fake comeback Kings, man. The second they got the ball with a chance to do something, 0 for 4 from Dak, immediately just completely cost themselves any real chance.
Yep, and they're laughing on the sidelines. You know, C.D. Lamb put up great numbers yesterday.
He looked happy as can
be. Yeah, I'm getting my numbers, right? But you still lost the matchup by 6 points. And Mike Zimmer has no answers how to coach that defense. Dan Quinn is winning in Washington.
Yes.
What a rookie team.
Yes.
And he's 6-2. The defense is getting better. They're making plays. And on the other side, Mike Zimmer's defense is getting absolutely abused. George Kittle was banged up, a 128 through the air, receiving in 3 touchdowns. You got to be kidding me.
No, I agree, and I just think that team goes and has a halftime lead, right, Joe? And halftime adjustments are something we talk about in all sports. Well, the Niners are all of a sudden up 27-10.
Right.
They win the third quarter 21-0. I mean, what was Mike McCarthy doing? Were they popping champagne because they had themselves a halftime lead?
Probably.
Finally, I mean, it just disengaged, embarrassing. And I think the big problem for Dallas now is in years prior, they could bank on Giants are nothing,
yep.
Commanders are nothing, Philly slips here, and we're in the mix. No. Because you now have two teams in both Washington and Philadelphia that look way better than the Dallas Cowboys. Man, I tell you, the Commanders winning that game, it's one of these weird things. That Hail Mary should have never happened, but they probably did deserve to beat the Chicago Bears all in all, Joe. And what that did to me, more than anything else, offensive rookie of the year race, done, dusted, locked up. If at the end of the year, I'm sitting here making an argument to you, it's Caleb, I would be stunned. It feels like it all just ended on that Hail Mary play.
It was, and Jaden played well yesterday, 300-plus yards, including the Hail Mary. We saw the big play over the top early in the first half to Terry McLaurin really set the stage. They have a 12-0, you know, third-quarter lead. They held on. They surrendered that. And then the unbelievable plays that Chicago made, right? I mean, to put your backup center in on the goal line and not hand the football off to DeAndre Swift or Roschon Johnson, absolutely clueless by Eberflus. And then the defensive breakdowns as well. He has a spy on Jaden Daniels on the Hail Mary. I mean, that's absolutely pathetic. I mean, again, I never was a backer of Matt Eberflus. I call him the human anchor. He could drag down any team.
Yep.
He did it again yesterday. Caleb needed to perform better. He didn't. But again, I still think the sky's the limit for both of those quarterbacks.
Here's my thing, right? And you know, some people probably expect me to jump on with you of let's bash Eberflus. I like Dan Quinn. I think when he got to Washington, I went, okay, they got themselves something dangerous maybe, and I knew that it was going to hurt Dallas. This Commanders defense has been bad all year. Then they got to play Andy Dalton in Carolina. Okay, that's not that team. Put him in the SEC. I'll take Mississippi State plus the points, all right? Caleb Williams cannot have that game. He can't have that game because one of the arguments that you and I always get into is USC, right? Win a big game, win a big game. Well, if USC's not winning big games, then, well, is Caleb winning big games? This was the biggest game he's played so far. Head-to-head in Washington, but it's a bad defense. Like, in theory, this game should have been a shootout. Whoa, this is awesome. 10 of 24, buck 31. You got to be kidding me.
No.
That can't happen. That cannot happen.
You're absolutely right. Short to intermediate throws, checkdowns. At times, he didn't know where to go with the football, right? So you're absolutely right about that. I agree with you. I don't think Washington has an elite defense that could be moved on. They need to get better. Here's the biggest problem, though, Kevin. Tell me where I'm wrong in this. they're going to get rid of Matt Eberflus,
yeah,
right, at the end of the year, mm-hmm, if this team doesn't win 9 or 10 football games. You're putting Caleb Williams in the same position of Justin Fields last year. Love him or hate him, they're two different types of quarterbacks, but now he's got to start over with a new coaching,
yeah,
staff.
Evolving when
they, right? They should have did that last year, entering this year. It's ridiculous.
You said that from the beginning, and I Eberflus did good things through the stretch, but it did feel inevitable that unless the Bears went out there and won the North, Eberflus was going to lose his job. And I know they're still sat there right now, you know, 4-3. It's not like the season is over, but when you're playing in this NFC North, man, you don't have a lot of margin for error. You finish last in your division. Making the playoffs is close to impossible, and the Bears are favored to finish last in that division. Green Bay finds a way. Detroit's on a roll right now. The Vikings still got themselves out to such a nice start. It's going to be hard for the Bears. It's a quick break. It's Kevin Wallace and Joe Lisi with you on Sports Grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Back to right here on Game Time Decisions. So we got a bob and weave, all right? It's Kevin Walsh and Joe Lisi, and there's about 8 topics that I want to get to, but I know that also we're here on Game Time Decisions, so we got to get you a couple of picks action. So tell me, Joe, with Pittsburgh and New York tonight in the NFL, who are you keying? Where are you dialed on?
All right, so I do lean to the Giants from the spread perspective.
Gotcha.
I think we're leaning to an under tonight, so I didn't play the total. I didn't play the total, so that's a good sign. But if I had to, I would lean to the under. I do like the Giants side of things, not jumping on Pittsburgh so much. I did take a parlay with Pickens with a very alt number of 40-plus, but that's all I did on the Pittsburgh side. On the Giants side, I key the running backs. Everybody's looking at Tracy. I took Devin Singletary. I took a shot. Great numbers on him. 50-plus through 80-plus, you could get 10-1. All the way up to 10-1. So Devin Singletary, he got sacked Daniel Jones 8 times last week. I understand that was Philly, but TJ Watt, this front 7 are very active. The rushing attack needs to be prevalent tonight to keep them in manageable situations. They can't be one-dimensional. Look for the Giants to run the football first to work off a play action. So I keyed Singletary. Theo Johnson, tight end, scored last week. They called it back due to offensive pass interference. He's 10-1 to hit pay dirt tonight. 25-plus plus 280 receiving. I'm on Theo Johnson tonight for the Giants.
Yeah, I'm on Daniel Jones passing tonight. I've been trying to figure out, are there certain guys to pair that with? For me, I think that Tyrone Tracy can start to become their lead running back.
It's possible.
Joe, I don't think Singletary's the type of guy who can't be moved off a position. And I think that Tracy's rushing receiving is a little more interesting in this matchup. I think Daniel Jones, though, will be the key for me here at 188.5. I think we're staring at a really, really light number that should not be too difficult for a player of Daniel Jones in this position to get through here. I was a little surprised by it. I know he had 99 last game. He had 200-plus in the 4 games leading up to that. So I think that's going to be a key spot here for Daniel Jones to try and get through some low numbers. If we do see, you know, the Steelers win this game, get them up to 6-2, would you start to think that maybe they can win this division? Because the Ravens just, man, that team knows how to lose a game as a touchdown favorite.
Yeah, their disciplined defense with T.J. Watt is still playing at above average level, so they're forcing turnovers. They do it each and every week, and as long as, you know, they get solid quarterback play, whether that be Russell Wilson or Justin Fields, and they don't commit turnovers, they can be in matchups. Again, are they a lethal offense? No.
Right.
Well, maybe they – I want to see 2 games with Russell Wilson. I want to see him put back 260 back-to-back in multiple weeks. Let me see you could do that, and then maybe I'll buy in a little bit big picture. But again, this is a team that made the playoffs last year with Mason Rudolph.
Yeah.
Right? So if you can make it with Mason Rudolph at 6-2 with Russell Wilson now and that defense, you could certainly make the playoffs now.
Yeah, I think for me with this – Steelers team, 6-2, we already kind of got into this on the show. I think it gives them a cushion to say, okay, we should make the playoffs. Yeah. That schedule, Joe. I mean, listen, I'm not telling you, look, Mike Tomlin will know how to win games to probably get them to 10-7, but I can't look at that schedule and think that that team's going to win 11, 12 games. I cannot get there, especially with Russell Wilson as their quarterback.
I don't think 12 or 11. I don't think they get there in terms of that. I think tonight's going to be a tough matchup. I think it's going to be a blue-collar, old-school, Pittsburgh type of game. Why? Because I don't think the Giants have the offensive firepower, especially with the offensive line issues, to hold up. I really don't. So I think lower scoring, it's 17-13. Maybe Pittsburgh wins, but New York covers.
Let me stick in the North for a minute. Our guy Donnie yesterday, I saw, and we'll talk to him tonight when we're all live together, said, Cancun, get ready.
Yeah,
you're done.
I saw it.
Miami?
I saw it.
Okay, you're 2-6.
Yeah.
Jets? No doubt. Throw Cincinnati in there, 3-5. I still think they can get into the playoffs. I do. I understand that they just got destroyed by the Eagles. You know what I think of that Philadelphia team. There will be moments we talk about that on our show tonight. But I look at the Cincinnati next three games that they're going to play before their bye week. Home against Vegas, at Baltimore, at L.A. It's not going to be easy. You win 2 out of 3, this team will have some momentum coming out of their bye. It's a much different look for them instead of Pittsburgh. It's a much more manageable schedule, I believe, for the Cincinnati group.
It was, but they can't win at home. That's the first thing, right? 0-4 now at home, that's a major concern. You're supposed to pick up at least a 500 percentage at home, right? Split those games. And I know some of them were tough, right? The Jaden Daniels game was tough. But, look at Washington right now. They lose that week one matchup to New England. That was the one that really was the head-scratcher. However, the defense was good, especially heading into that game over the past couple of weeks against Cleveland and New York, giving up 3.8 and only 3.7 yards per carry.
Yep.
And then we saw Saquon rip them for 108 yards on the ground. So I don't know. The defense is still a concern for me. I mean, if they would have held the Eagles to 20, I would have said, you know what, Kev? Yeah, over the next 3 weeks, no problem, right?
Right.
You know, they could at least win two of the next three games. I'm not so sure now. I do have concerns about them.
Yes, right. I mean,
Burrow's there. So out of all three that Donnie put in there, I would say I would bet on Burrow before the other two.
And also, they have a better record than the other two, right? Like, all of a sudden, 3-5 feels amazing because the others are 2-6. I guess this is where, I'm not telling you I thought the Eagles would win the game by 20. But let me ask you this. When you're putting your NFC rankings together, right?
Yeah.
You're still Green Bay in front of this team?
Well, no, here's the thing. Jordan Love's hurt again.
That's so a good point.
You're right. Malik Willis, I don't expect to play at this elite level. He's playing well.
This guy Willis, a winner all of a sudden.
Hey, prop bets. I will say credit to LaFleur because that kid didn't throw for a touchdown in 2 years in Tennessee. Matt LaFleur has him in a touchdown every game he's played. So LaFleur coaches up talent. I would probably now, because of the injury concerns, put Philly number two. And I told you I would do that. I said, Detroit, though, Detroit said, you want to run up tempo? We'll run up tempo. Goff will throw for 85 yards. Well, our defensive score specials, amazing.
I'll never, that's one of the weirder games. Tennessee didn't deserve the win. It's pretty hard to double a team in yards and lose by that many points.
Yeah.
38. I don't know. Titans plus 12. I have no regrets about that bet. You know I'm sneaking in college with Lisa here on the other side of this break.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Back on Game Time Decisions. And Kevin Walsh, Joe Lisi, Sports Equinox Night, which is great because coming up is our NFL pregame show where you are definitely getting hockey picks. And let's be honest, most of us, if we're trying to do the Equinox thing, need a little help. Like if I go to Lisi, right, and I say, give me an NFL pick, he's got 100 for me. If I go to Lisi, give me an NHL pick, he'll figure it out. If I say, Lisi, give me a baseball pick, he'll figure it out. If I ask for an NBA pick, he's probably got quite a lot too. Lisi, if I had to, with an NBA slate tonight, where would your eyes be attracted to?
NBA?
NBA, come on.
It's going to be rebounds tonight.
It's always the rebounds. rebounds.
It's the rebounds. The rebounds are where the money is, Kev. Let me just look. I haven't looked.
You haven't been looking at the NBA? On the Equinox night, you're not looking NBA?
I was looking. I'll tell you what. I'll give you one for the NBA right now. Here. One guy. No Nas Reed. Now, you ready?
Go ahead.
Bounds.
Bounds. Who's got him? Who's loading up tonight in the rebounds market?
Clint Capella. 14 plus. Plus 260.
All right. Clint.
Plus 260.
And why can't we get him for 8 plus?
His number's 10 and a half.
All right, we'll put him for 8.
No. Clint Capella. Now I'm putting it in.
I know you are.
Plus 260.
All right.
With
he's
Devin
out on this Capella. All right. You zagged when they touched
you. Kid runs the floor.
Ball up top.
It does.
I love it. All right. College football.
Yeah.
First of all, what a sport. It's great.
Great game.
Great sport.
Great games all around.
LSU A&M. I know. Here's my thing. Well, how did Marcel Reed come into that game playing like that? How was Wegman ever their quarterback? I mean, A&M's performance all of a sudden, I mean, they kind of feel like a national title contender if you want to go crazy over reaction. That's how good that game looked all of a sudden.
Actually living up to the expectations that they thought they had with their former coach, Jimbo Fisher, right? For years, they were 9.5, 10 win totals, right? You know, when Fisher was there, thinking he had top 5 recruiting classes, never lived up to expectations, brought them to a 9-1 record during COVID with Kellen Mond when they knocked off North Carolina. But Connor Wegman was a big star recruit. You know, he did play. He's in the scheme and in the system in Texas A&M over the past 2 or 3 seasons. Got the last win over LSU 2 years ago by 15 on Jaden Daniels. But he's a pocket passer. Marcel Reed, when Wegman was hurt, Reed came in and performed great. Right? He just didn't. He was a little raw. He won games 26-20 over some teams, and he was a little inconsistent. But he's the more athletic of both quarterbacks. And LSU was not prepared from a defensive perspective. You know, it started with Nussmeier's interception in the third quarter. You come out of the half. Mm-hmm. You're up 17-7. You're throwing darts all over the field. Aaron Anderson. Yeah. I mean, Mason Taylor. You name it. I mean, Kyren Lason. I thought I was watching the 2019 team with Joe Burrow. And then all of a sudden they laid an egg. Second half adjustments. Did not have the answers.
Yeah, they didn't. For someone like you, has some LSU futures tied up. That was tough because it's going to be hard with tiebreakers get into that title game, which was always kind of the hope. When I think about the results that kind of shifted me, right, from because there weren't a lot of upsets. Indiana beating Washington by 14 with a backup quarterback. I look at this Indiana Hoosiers team now, Joe, and listen, I know Washington kind of hung with them. They had the pick six, the yardage was similar. I get all that. But Indiana is a machine.
Yep.
I think they've covered every single game, but maybe the opener against FIU. I look at the remaining schedule. If their only loss is to Ohio State, how are one of the 12 spots not going to the Indiana Hoosiers?
They should, but I will say this. This weekend in East Lansing, not going to be easy. I mean, Michigan State plays Indiana typically series-wise very well. It's going to be very difficult for them to go into East Lansing, no matter how beaten down Michigan State might be. They play Michigan, which their only win over the past 25 meetings came during the COVID year when Jim Harbaugh lost. So again, another team typically that plays them very well and is dominant. And then Ohio State. Who knows what happens this week in Ohio State, Penn State.
Yeah.
You know, Drew Aller is a game time decision. We don't know. That's why they're a 3.5-point favorite. They could lose that game. And then you have a rivalry game with Purdue. They should win that.
I don't know. For me now, it feels like the Hoosiers shouldn't. It feels like they should control their own destiny.
Right.
But I think we all kind of know they don't. And it's a really fascinating thing for a Big Ten football team.
Absolutely.
Lisi, as always, an absolute blast. You're in good hands with the pregame show coming up right here on Sports Grid for a monster Monday night.